There. That's better. Just that this rig is so much harder to get to the microphone in. Good morning and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving. Special welcome to those visiting with us here and the Ferguson family who have gathered for a family reunion and for worship as well. We're more than grateful to see you all with us this morning. And any others who may be here in the sanctuary, we're pleased to welcome you to worship. And a welcome to those who join us on the live stream, either habitually each week, or if you're new to St. John's, we welcome you to our service as well. You may have already guessed, because there's a flip chart at the front of the church, which isn't usually here, this day's worship is going to be different. I said to Olivia as she was preparing music for today that this is probably going to be the most different service she's ever going to encounter here. It's her first day as our music director. So we welcome Olivia. And I, as the minister, apologize for throwing curveballs at her early. But it will be curveballs for you all as well, so at least you're not going to be alone. The only person who knows what's going on this morning, well, I'm not even going to claim it's me. So it's going to be exciting. But welcome to worship. Announcements for this morning, in addition to welcoming Olivia, Rob finally decided that maybe he should put up a slide that welcomed him to St. John's this week as well. Rob Beaton, our new office administrator, has joined staff here, and Rob unfortunately kind of hit the ground running when he began here, and so we kind of didn't welcome him. He just kind of avalanched through, and since we were welcoming one, we would welcome two. So slides for both Rob and Olivia. We're very pleased to have them joining the ministry team here at St. John's. A couple of brief announcements, opportunities for service for those who would like to help with a couple of things. On Tuesday morning at 10:30, if you're interested in this, email me and I will tell you what the time is again because so that you don't have to remember. But Tuesday at 10:30, there was a small group that will be meeting to discuss the congregation's participation in Doors Open Cornwall this year. Doors Open Cornwall is a community-wide event where public spaces or semi-public spaces that aren't always open to the public are opened, and people get to come in and see whatever happened. What's the inside of that building look like that they pass by on the street all of the time? And it's an opportunity for us to share some of our ministry and some of the history of this congregation. So we're looking forward to that planning meeting on Tuesday. And if you would like to be part of that, we'd be more than happy to have you join us at 10:30. Another task that we are working on, but there's no date yet, is a group to plan some stewardship education and a stewardship preaching series for the fall. And if you would like to be part of the stewardship education focus for this year and its planning, again, send me an email or you can pick up the phone and telephone as well. We do accept those here. And we can give you more information on that as well. We light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of the Lord. As we come and worship this day, let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. And let us say together the call to worship, which is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Our freedom comes as life in the Spirit.
We reject the works based only on our fleshly desires.
we live a new life of spirit and truth.
Let us worship the Lord in full spirit.
Amen. And let us come before God in prayer. God of all life and love, we are your children, and you made us free to live in joyful relationship with you and one another. Your grace empowers us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Give us the courage to love ourselves as much as you love us, and to love others with that same compassion, the compassion shown to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join in singing the opening hymn, From All That Dwell Below the Skies. The hymn will appear before us on the screens. Seated. Claimed as Christ's own, let us approach God secure in the knowledge that nothing can separate us from the love of God made known to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in him is our sure redemption. This morning's prayer of confession is, as is our custom, a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screens. Loving God, in Jesus Christ, you give us perfect freedom, and yet the desires of the flesh still seek to bind us in fear. We are pursued by false gods, and divisive arguments seek to entrap us, separating us one from another. We confess that we have submitted to such things in the past, but no more. God of love, inspire us to live in the freedom you have given us, for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You set us free. Give us the courage to rejoice in your grace and inherit the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved children of God, hear and believe the good news. For freedom, Christ has set us free to live anew. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing the hymn 225 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear on the screens, A New Commandment I Give Unto You, hymn 225. Thank you. I don't see any we people this morning. Just too bad I was going to talk to them about freedom this morning, which is one of the themes of our text. And of course, for our wee ones, the school year has just come to the end, and they're free to do all kinds of things. So I was looking forward to seeing what freedom was going to look like for them this year. But I hope freedom will come and visit you as well, and that something along the lines of freedom will come to your life as you enjoy this period of rest and relaxation as we move through the summer months. And fan ourselves with our bulletins. It's a little warm in here this morning. If you feel the need to do that, feel free. Feel free. Hey, there we go. And just a reminder for those who may be here with wee ones in the future, we do have Conga, there is no church school during the summer, but we do have activity packs at, are they both doors, Trish, or are they just here? They're just over here, I think, or at least that's where I stole this one this morning. So I know there's some over there. If you see folks with young people, or if you come with young people yourself and need a little bit of entertainment for them during the service, these are there for you, and please make use of them. I'm going to stay down here for a while. I didn't warn the guys at the back. I'm probably going to move to the other side of the communion table in a minute, too, guys, so they can chase me with the camera when the time comes. But this morning's worship, as I mentioned in the announcements, is going to be just a little bit different. Somebody talked me into a terrible, terrible idea to do something different in worship this week. I was reading something about, as they were talking about preparing for the text this week, and they were talking about different ways you could present the text, and I thought, oh, that sounds really fun. What was I thinking? Because I'm not that sort of guy. I like to have everything planned and written out in front of me. You will have all noticed that over the years. I do not like working without a net. I'm not a Cirque du Soleil celebrity. I like to make sure that there's a good, solid landing. So it's going to be interesting this morning. That being said, I cannot trust myself. So I did sit down after coming home from a wedding in Finch last night and wrote down some notes just in case I need notes. So I have half of that security net to land in if you let me down this morning. So I am depending upon you. The way we're doing worship this morning is like this. We're going to follow an ancient practice known as Lectio Divina, which is a means of approaching the text of Scripture. So it's going to look a little different. Usually we read four texts with one reader. This morning we have three readers and one text. The discipline of the Lectio Divina is to listen to the text several different times, each time kind of focusing our minds more on different things. And the nice part when you do this as a group process is that you can share your thoughts with other people. Now, I'm hoping that, although we have a whole family, I'm hoping somebody will come over and talk to the Fergusons and break them up a little bit. So that, because you want to get to know the Ferguson family. And besides that, or renew your old acquaintances, because they've been here for a while. We will take a brief time of reflection, of guided reflection. I will give you something to listen to each time the passage is read. And then you will find a small group of about four or maybe five to share that thought together. So that's kind of what the process is. We will read the passage three different times. We will hear what stands out for folks in the passage, and then we'll renew the process. And then goodness knows what's going to happen with the sermon this morning, but we'll get there eventually. So our first reading Before that, I'm going to pray. Let us pray. O blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading is going to be read by Phyllis. As you hear the reading, I'm going to invite you to sit up attentively in your pews. Don't slouch like I usually do. Take a good deep breath so that you are prepared to hear God's word. If it helps, close your eyes. That is allowed. I won't think you're sleeping. And as Phyllis reads, listen for one word or one phrase that rises out of this passage for you.
The scripture is taken from Galatians chapter 5, reading verses 1 and 13 to 25. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery and idolatry, sorcery, enmities and strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit.
So take a moment to think of a one word or one phrase that rose out of that passage, and then turn to your neighbor, two or three of them, and just share with them what that one word or phrase was. Go.
Thank you.
And is anyone brave enough that they'd like to share with the group the word or phrase that arose for you this morning? Brenda? Freedom? That's pretty neat, isn't it? For people who have seen me write on the whiteboard, sorry guys, I'm walking out of the camera, I'm going to stay put here. That's pretty neat. For people who have seen me write on the bullet, signs from the back. Trish? Slavery? Any others? I'm guessing a lot of people probably chose freedom, right? How many people, that was your word? I did see Linda's hand. Fruits of the Spirit. One more. Anne? Stand firm. Go ahead, Carmen. Live in the Spirit. Okay, good. Thank you. Oh, were you going to say something, Jennifer? Sorry?
Gratify.
You just have to throw a hymn book at me. You're behind me, so. Good. That's our first exercise. The second exercise is to hear the passage again. This time, as I think Trish is my reader this time. This time, as Trish reads the passage a second time, I would ask you to concentrate your thoughts a little more and seek to identify what word or phrase speaks to your life and why does it connect with you. So a little bit more in depth. What speaks to your life? It may be what you set up here. It might be something different.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 25. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before: those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit.
And again, we'll take a moment for thought and then turn to your neighbor and share with them what word or phrase out of what you just heard speaks into your life in particular. Hope you had time for that. Anyone want to share with the group? This one's a little bit more personal. Yes, John. Contrast. Mr. Libby. I'm just going to put fruit of the Spirit and not list all nine. Because then I'm on to a second piece of paper and it gets awkward. Carmen? Sorry. Assumed. Consumed. Consumed. Love as you love yourself. That's the second half. Alex.
Calling.
With the fans going at the front, it kind of, and they move, so it changes the sound. Calling. Last call. Phyllis? Self-control. Oh, and Jennifer. Yes, Jennifer, you didn't throw a hymn book at me. And I am grateful for your self-control. Being guided by the Spirit. Okay. Thank you for your sharing. Now, for the third time, as we listen to the passage being read, listen with these ears in mind. Finally, as we listen to the reading and consider what Christ is calling us to do, what is it that you need to do, or consider, or relinquish? To fulfill the calling that we have identified that God is calling us to do, what do we need to increase, decrease, or take on a new way of thinking? Barry?
Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become enslaved to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you. So again, what are the things that we need to pick up? What are the things that we're being called to put down or set aside to fulfill the calling that God has given to us? Share. This one, of course, is really a little bit more personal. Is there anyone who wants to share the things you need to give up, pick up, or put down that we might fulfill God's calling? Live more by the Spirit. Are you going to say the same thing, Serge? More or less? Yes, Linda. I hear you. Be more patient. And I need to do that right now. Yes, Phyllis? Envy. Lay down envy. Jennifer, do you have anything? Work on kindness. Mr. Libby. No. It's the fans.
Well, let me tell you.
Or the flesh end of that spectrum. So again, live more in the Spirit. Alex.
Stand firm.
Stand firm. Carmen? Love. Carol? Try. Try. To live fearlessly sometimes is part of being trying, right? Okay, well, thank you very much for taking part in that little exercise. As I say, I was going to build a whole sermon off what you said, and I think I can. I think some of it fits with the notes that I had, and some of it may not. We'll see what happens here in a minute. But if God is gracious, he'll give me inspiration while we sing the hymn, Speak, Lord, in the Stillness, which is 442 in the Book of Praise, or will appear before you on the screens.
Expect.
And guys, I'm just going to stay here. I never had to tell them that before we had cameras in the sanctuary, but now, just so that they don't have to try to chase me all over the place, we do that. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thinking about this message this morning, I'm going to change that slide. Roy and I are fighting for the screens. The title that came to mind was Worship in a Plain White Wrapper. The reality of this process that we've done is, as a worship leader, we try to be thematic and to group all of the prayers and all of the hymns so that they reflect the theme that is being proclaimed in the service. But in this exercise where you are reflecting on how you have heard the passage this morning and what rises out of the passage through the power of the Holy Spirit for you, me trying to put a theme on it somehow seemed disingenuous. It seemed like I was trying to lead you to make a conclusion that perhaps you weren't going to get there. And so the idea that worship comes as a plain brown wrapper, in a plain white wrapper, in a blank slate, was started to creep further and further into my mind as we went on. And indeed, maybe you were feeling that a little bit yourself as you were reflecting on the Galatians passages. This Galatians passage actually contains one of my favorite passages of Scripture, but it is a complete distraction from the passage. If you want to know what it is, you can ask me over coffee in the McClellan room at the close of worship. But the more I thought about that passage of Scripture, that verse that I kind of go back to and focus on a little bit from time to time, I smile and laugh when I think that Paul actually wrote that and put it into Scripture. But it does not deal with the issue that Paul has laid before us, the idea of freedom and slavery. And Paul very neatly plays with those two themes, doesn't he? We are freed from the slavery of the law, but through our freedom, we become slaves to Christ. Both of those are there in the text this morning. Now, just to do a little bit of a reminder in case we've forgotten about Paul in Galatia. Paul has written this letter to the Galatians. That's a letter written to a church located in Galatia. And Galatia, for those in-house, I apologize, the map's a little bit smaller. Guys, I'm going to walk off the screen. Galatia, if you can't quite see it, is right there. For those who are at home, they don't need me to point that out to them. But for you, especially way at the back, perhaps you can't see Galatia. Galatia is right in the middle of the screen. It's located in the country that we would now refer to as Turkey. As we saw last week when we were looking at Galatians chapter 3, Paul is writing this really quite difficult letter to this church in Galatia. They were a difficult church as they sought to discern what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Galatia, as I said, is part of Turkey. In our Old Testament context, Galatia's there too. Galatia was the home of the Hittites in Old Testament times. So it spans both the Old and New Testaments. And as we discussed last week, it was the home at the time of Paul's writing of a very large group of diaspora Jews, Jewish people who no longer lived in the Holy Land but lived further abroad. And this letter addresses the dispute that is current within that church. And Paul notes that the old ways of life, the established moral code that is laid out in the law of Moses, the Torah, and all of the outward signs that go along with it, things like circumcision, are no longer necessary, as the law reflects the fallen nature of our humanity. But now that Christ has come and taken upon himself our sins and our shortcomings and redeemed us by his love, the law has been rendered null and void. We were once slaves to the law. We were required to follow it, to identify ourselves as part of the community of faith, but no longer, for Christ has put upon himself all of those things that the law seeks to address. So we have this idea of slavery to the law and then being freed from it. But then Paul does this artful little turn where we are now free. And it seems like the Galatians really weren't that difficult or that different from 95% of the people you meet walking down the street in the city of Cornwall any given day, or any newspaper that you might want to pick up and read the front page of. The reality is there are all kinds of people out there, and they're doing all kinds of things. Freedom means I can do what I want when I want to do it, doesn't it? Well, Paul seems to argue with that. Paul, the great lover of lists. You want to take Paul with you when you go shopping, because there will be none of those impulse buys in your cart. The cookies will stay on the shelf because Paul has a list. Paul has a list of those things that are the works of the Spirit, which some of them may be related to those cookies in the shopping cart. Paul says the works of the flesh are to be avoided. They're obvious, he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Paul says, I am warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Because those things are the things that are part of our fleshly existence. It's part of that idea that we can do whatever we want without consequence. But Paul says, rather than those things, do the fruit of the Spirit. We want to say the fruits of the Spirit, and often we do, but in Scripture it is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. It's an interesting little comparison. I think it struck me this week as I was working with the text and reading it through and through as we've practiced here this morning. The idea that that the works of the flesh are legion, like that story of Jesus driving the spirit out of the evil spirit out of the man and placing it into the pigs. If you'll remember that story, the Spirit says, we are legion, for we are many. The many things that would seek to draw us away, and the one thing that draws us into the circle of the light of God, which is God's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that love then in turn renders to us all those other fruits of the Spirit, as we refer to them. I've got to find them in my notes because I always leave one out. So I should have brought my Bible down here. Love, joy, peace, patience. This is where I leave one out. Kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, and self-control. I think I've got them in the wrong order, but I think I got seven. So we're going to take that as a win. But those are the ones. And each of those in their own way, if you think of it, each of those other six fruit of the Spirit are a way that we show love to ourselves and to others as we live in community with one another. The one thing that I think became clear to me as I kind of walked through this exercise that we've all been doing this morning and reflecting on this text is the fact that all of those things that are the works of the Spirit are those things that destroy community and deny God. But God calls us to live together, to live under the umbrella of God's love. And by doing that, then all those other things start to automatically fit into place. If we are living in love, we tend to be more joyful. We tend to be more peaceful. We tend to be more patient and kind and generous as we deal with others through that lens of love. All of these things that we've put down as things that we must either pick up or put down to be servants of God perhaps work best when they come first, when we see them first through the lens of love. So as we leave this text this morning, I thank you for your participation. This is an exercise, by the way, that you can do every morning as you read Scripture. You can take a passage, you can read it and read it first for that one word or phrase that stands out, then go back and listen for the one word or phrase that really speaks to your heart, and then through the third reading, if you're doing it yourself, of course you don't have a group to share with, but through journaling and prayerful reflection, you can then discern what it is that we need to pick up and what it is that we need to lay down, that we may be followers of Jesus on the way. May God bless us this day as we celebrate his word and as we as people of faith seek to follow in his Spirit. The affirmation of faith for this morning is the Apostles' Creed. And the creed is found on the screens before you or on page 539 in the Book of Praise, if you wish to follow along in the book. We join our voices with the Church of Jesus Christ in all time and place as we stand and say these words together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings that God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. us pray. Liberating God, who calls us to true freedom, we offer these gifts as signs of our commitment to live by the Spirit's leading. May our generosity reflect your love that is joyful, peaceful, patient, and kind. Through your grace, may we sow seeds of compassion and justice, nurturing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and in the world. Guide us to use our freedom, not for ourselves, but for service, so that we may build communities of faith and hope. With thankful hearts, we dedicate ourselves to your transforming work. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have set us free from the strictures and systems that we may, live in relationship with you and serve those around us in love and faithfulness. We thank you for the gift of your love toward us and for the opportunity that is ours to share your love with the world. We pray for your church. May she be Spirit-led in all that we do, that the love of Christ may flow forth from this place and into our communities and around the world. May joy, peace, and patience be hallmarks of our faith, and may we seek to celebrate you as we gather each week in worship. We pray for a world where people are divided, where envy and greed seem to rule the day. And we pray that you will replace all of those, all of the works of the flesh with the fruit of your Spirit, and especially with peacefulness and self-control, that we might seek peace in all that we do, that countries may learn to live together in unity, and that all may be one through your grace. We pray this day for those who are in need, especially those who are ill and in hospital, and those who are facing death. Be with them in their hour of need. Give to them peace and comfort. May those who surround them with love and care be assured that they are doing your servant's work as they sit with those in need. Keep us in unending fellowship, O Lord, with all those who have gone before us in the faith, and with all those who gather around your throne in heaven to sing your praise. Hear us now as we continue in prayer, praying as Jesus taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 472 in the Book of Praise. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord. Number 472. Or as the words appear before you on the screen.
Thank you.
children of God. You have been loved into freedom, set loose on the world to share the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So go and love your neighbor as yourself. And then in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.